It's time for Fed Talk, the live show for Feds in the know. From federal agencies to Capitol Hill, the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth bring in experts from across the federal community to bring you inside the issues. Fed Talk is meant to provide general information about legal issues. However, the views expressed in this program are not intended to provide legal counseling. Listeners are cautioned not to rely upon any statements made in resolving legal issues they may face, but instead to consult with their own attorney about specific situations. Attorneys are not engaged in providing legal services while appearing on the program and are not responsible in any manner for the consequences that may stem directly or indirectly from reliance on any statement made during this program.
Good morning. Welcome to Fed Talk. I'm Bill Bransford, and I'm your host this morning. And today I have two great guests on the program. First, I'd like to welcome Miriam Nesbitt from the Office of Government Information Services. Miriam, welcome to Fed Talk.
Thank you, Bill. Good morning.
And Rick Bloom from the Sunshine and Government Initiative. Rick, welcome to Fed Talk.
Thanks a lot.
So we're going to focus this morning on a very, very new program. It's called FOIA Online Portal. But we're also going to talk a little bit about FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, Open Government, Transparent Government, Privacy Act, some of the issues. So I would like to start with you, Miriam. What is this thing, Office of Government Information Services?
Well, the name doesn't really give you a very good idea of who we are, and so I appreciate that question. The Office of Government Information Services, or OGIS as we call it, is part of the National Archives and Records Administration.
So you are a government, part of the government.
We are part of the government, and but we're only about 3 years old. We've been operating since September 2009. Under recent amendments to the Freedom of Information Act that set up our office to provide mediation services for the first time to settle FOIA disputes and as an alternative to litigation, and also to review all the executive branch agencies' policies, procedures, and compliance, and also make recommendations to improve the process. So in a nutshell, that's it.
And Rick, can you tell us a little bit about what the Sunshine and Government Initiative is?
Sure. The Sunshine and Government Initiative was set up in 2005. It's really a group, an umbrella group of trade association for journalists. So there are reporters, trade association, the publishers, trade association, small community newspapers, all realized that they care about the First Amendment and government transparency, and they wanted to find practical ways to work together to promote government transparency. And so some of the things that we've worked on is practical ways to strengthen the Freedom of Information Act. And we were very proud to support the idea of creating OGIS and getting it set up.
So you are not a government agency.
Correct.
But you work closely with Miriam and OGIS in their projects?
Absolutely.
And what kind of things have you done with the Sunshine and Government Initiative, do you think, over the last few years to improve the FOIA process?
Well, we've tried to talk about practical ways that FOIA can be improved, the frustrations working with FOIA from an agency perspective and also from journalist perspectives, the long delays, the difficulty getting answers to questions sometimes. And so we've also worked with Congress, and we focused a lot of attention on finding those kinds of pieces of legislation that might create an exemption to FOIA and really educate lawmakers and the public about how FOIA works and the complexity there.
Now, Miriam, my sense in looking over the materials is OGIS, your new programs, what you do, is very much a part of President Obama's initiative to make the government more transparent. Do you agree with that?
Well, yes, but I do want to note, and I think this is just important historically and legally, that Congress created the Office of Government Information Services, OGIS, in 2007. So it was an idea and a reality in legislation that preceded President Obama's administration. However, the Open Government Initiative, starting even the very first full day that President Obama was in office, that promoted openness, collaboration, participation, transparency, and also an emphasis on the Freedom of Information Act, coincided as well with the administration's directive to really get the office up and going, because it was in the law but did not exist until the Obama administration. So it's been a really congruence of events to get us up and going.
So in the 3+ years that you've been in existence, can you tell us what kind of things OGIS has done to improve the FOIA process?
Well, we've started that process, and I think it's important to look at this as a long-term effort, and I know that Rick would agree with that. The groups that he's been working with have been working in this area and promoting transparency, accountability, and improved Freedom of Information Act for many, many years. So it's not something that just happens overnight. However, we've done several things. I'm just going to mention several, but I'd like to think that there are more, and Rick can also talk about this. We are handling requests for assistance from both FOIA requesters, mostly FOIA requesters, but also some agencies have come to us as well to resolve disputes, to solve problems. We've handled close to 1,200 cases total in about these 3 years, and that they involve all kinds of issues. It can be something as simple as a delay, which is maybe simple legally, but of course it is very important to a requester who is not getting a timely response. There are a lot of reasons that agencies have backlogs. And we're part of the process of opening up a discussion so that at the very least everybody knows what's going on and sort of, you know, what's happening with the request and when the response is going to be due. We also deal with substantive denials when there is a dispute over the application of an exemption, for example. So all kinds of things like that. We also handle lots of inquiries that really don't rise to the level of needing to be opened as a, quote, case, but are people calling our office or emailing who are simply trying to find out how do they make a request? Where do they go? Where would, they know what they want to ask for, but they're not sure where the request should go because, of course, there are 100 departments and agencies. It's a big, you know, it's a big executive branch. The other thing that we have done is look for ways to improve the process. So we've made a number of recommendations, and we do that both sort of formally and informally, pulling together both agency representatives and members of the requester community to talk about issues and look for enhancements to the system.
Okay. Well, and Rick, can you talk a little bit about the work of your organization with Miriam's office to make some of these things happen, to make the process better?
Absolutely. We've worked for many years, as Miriam mentioned, and this is a very long-term process to make improvements to FOIA. The federal government is so complex in the process of taking one request from initial request from the inbox, running it through all of the processes that it needs to go through to the outbox is very complicated. So what we've tried to do is find ways to make the process streamlined. We think this office that Miriam is running is a very important part of it to allow requesters to make phone calls to say, how do I do this? How does this work? Or I'm getting a denial and I don't think it's appropriate. I think I should get my records. So what do I need to do to make an appeal? Or can you help me? They're saying no. We have a dispute. We're loggerheads here. We're just butting heads. Can you figure out a way to cut through this? And the responsibility of OGIS is to respond and say, all right, we'll get everybody at the table.
And Miriam, how does someone find out about OGIS? I mean, you know, I've been filing FOIA requests for years, and I have to tell you, as I was getting ready for this radio show, I learned about OGIS for the first time. I don't know that you're widely known.
Well, that's one of our challenges. One of the ways that we let people know about us is, of course, through our website at the National Archives. But fortunately, we've had a lot of great articles. We've had some really good radio reporting on our existence. And so the word gets out in lots of different ways. We also are... look for agencies to tell requesters about us. And that's been a little bit of a slow process, but slowly but surely we're seeing increased reference to OGIS services and how to get in touch with us as agencies write to requesters, and particularly in their appeal letters. In fact, the Department of Justice really more than 2 years ago put out guidance to all the executive branch agencies that they should be including language about us and telling requesters about us, certainly in their appeal, their final appeal letters. But again, that's not going to reach, that's not going to reach everybody.
And also in their letters that, or their lack of letters that do not accompany the significant delays that often occur in the FOIA process.
Which is why we have to have lots of different ways for people to find out about us. Now, I'll tell you, Rick and his colleagues in the requester community have done a really nice job, too, of talking about and pointing people to us. So we do, as I said, we've handled between people just sort of calling with quick questions or emailing with quick questions and people actually requesting assistance that requires us to open up a case. We've had probably, I'm just going to estimate here, but, a couple of thousand people coming to us, but clearly with 650,000 FOIA requests being made across the executive branch every single year, we're reaching just a tiny fraction.
And if I can just expand on that just a little bit, Miriam's dealing with a problem that involves a couple $100 million being spent every year by the federal government to resolve FOIA requests that come into the agencies. She's got a budget of $1 million. When OGIS was set up, Congress estimated that it would take about $3 million just to start up the agency, just to figure out what it should be focusing on, what expertise it needed within OGIS, and then about $5 million, and then slowly increasing, to really be up and running in a way to accomplish its mission. So on $1 million, OGIS is going to depend on word of mouth. It's going to depend on people knowing about it and learning about it through getting the FOIA letters and through using it and through, finding creative ways to make sure that OGIS's voice is known. So that's a challenge.
You're listening to Miriam Nisbet from the Office of Government Information Services and Rick Bloom from the Sunshine and Government Initiative. When we come back, we will talk about the new FOIA online portal. This is Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around the mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is Geico anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that Geico isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like GEICO. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. GEICO.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact GEICO today to request your special federal savings.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Bill Bransford, and I'm joined by Rick Bloom from the Sunshine in Government Initiative, and Miriam Nisbet from the Office of Government Information Services. And we're about to talk about a very brand new initiative, which is the the new program, the online portal for FOIA requesters. Miriam, tell me what this new program is.
Well, Bill, you're referring to FOIA Online, which is, as of October 1st, a multi-agency shared services portal. You can easily find it. Any of your listeners who Google FOIA Online can get to it very quickly. And it is really the first such effort to have multiple agencies participating and together offering the ability for a FOIA requester to come to one place to make a FOIA request to one or more than one agency to be able to track that request, for the agencies to be able to process and handle the request, and also ultimately at the end of the process when records are released to have them available again at that one place so that anyone can see both what has been requested and what has been disclosed under the Freedom of Information Act.
So if I file a FOIA request on this FOIA online portal, it becomes public for everyone to see?
Correct. Not immediately, because the agencies do look carefully at the request. For example, if you sent in a FOIA request and you were really asking for records on yourself, which would be considered a first-party request that would have some privacy implications, the agency would not be making that available. So there's a little bit of review to be sure that the request really is a true Freedom of Information Act request. But eventually, and probably sooner rather than later, yes, it would be available so that people would know at the very least what has been requested, even if they don't necessarily see immediately who requested it.
So, Miriam, when you gave us a number a little while ago, the number of FOIA requests that are filed every year?
Yes, 600 there about. And, of course, it varies from year to year, but it's somewhere in the neighborhood of just under 650,000.
So how you put this all on a portal online? I mean, how do you manage that? Right. How does somebody find FOIA information with that volume of requests?
Well, we're not there yet. right now, there are five partner agencies besides the National Archives and Records Administration, which is OGIS's parent agency. And we don't have the entire agency participating, but we have our operational files are accessible through the FOIA online. So it's the National Archives and Records Administration, the Environmental Protection Agency, which was really the spark plug for this and really the generator of the idea a few years ago and has been the lead project manager on this, the Department of Commerce, the Federal Labor Relations Authority, and the Merit Systems Protection Board.
So, but you go to FOIA Online, that has its own separate website, I guess, where
Correct.
All the information is. And all five of these agencies have all of their FOIA requests there together?
Well, yes. I mean, that is now, but it just started October 1st, so it's not as if you're going to be able to see every request that's ever been made. The agencies are slowly but surely trying to get that data into the system. But starting with requests that came in October 1st, those are going to be available, and also the released records. In fact, there are quite a few records that EPA has already been making available through the portal. We expect that that's going to populate pretty quickly.
I think one of the great things about this system that it's so exciting is that as a requester, sometimes you go in there and you make a request. And let's say you're responding to a disaster. Maybe it's a hurricane, maybe it's some other disaster. And I've seen reporters whose homes have been destroyed, and yet they're trying to figure out what's going on in the community. You know, if there's a flood water, EPA, let's see your testing results, and they file FOIA requests, they have to evacuate their homes. They can go onto the system now and say, send my FOIA request to this new address. And let me check in on the status of the request. Has it been processed? Has it been assigned to offices? And from my perspective, as from outsiders trying to see how the FOIA process works and where the problems are, we can get much more granular in understanding where the problems are. What is taking so long? Why are there delays? Is it because there's a big backlog and the system works pretty efficiently? It's just that, you know, you're waiting 2 years for someone to actually look at your request, and then it takes a week or two for them to process it. Well, maybe you can we can push to get more resources to bring that backlog down. Where are the real problems and how can we figure out how to fix it?
So, Rick, in the 6 weeks now that this FOIA online portal has been up and running, have you as a requester found it useful, or is it still too early?
I think it's a little too early. I think it's great to, we went in and did create our account and started looking around and seeing what is being requested and what can you get back. And it's pretty great. One of the things that Congress was particularly interested in when they looked at FOIA and some of these oversight hearings recently is that once an agency spends the money and the time to process a request and release documents, that document ought to be available publicly, period. And so now, once the document is released once, it's released. And you can use the system, you can do a search, and you can find these kinds of releases so an agency doesn't have to release it multiple times.
That just seems to make so much sense.
It really does.
Although,
it's amazing.
A lot of the FOIA releases I have seen have been heavily redacted with many, many exemptions. And I sometimes look at them and say, well, just how useful is that? Because so much information has been deleted.
Right.
So,
And with this system now, we can go and it'll be easier for us to go look how these exemptions have been used. And we can go look and say, okay, give me all of the privacy exemptions or all of the, you know, deliberative process exemptions. Show me all the requests and all the documents where that exemption has been used. And let's compare that and let's see what has been asked. What's the requester asking for?
And
is this appropriate?
Then you can use Miriam's office to challenge the agency's actions and requesting too many exemptions. Right?
We're hoping we can keep Miriam very busy.
Well, we are, and we thank you, Rick.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas.
Bill, let me just mention a couple of advantages. We've talked about the advantage for requesters. It's both, you know, hopefully easing making a request, tracking, being able to see where your request is, where it is in process, and ultimately for that requester as well as any member of the public being able to see what was ultimately released. And of course, a lot of records are released in full, and when you're talking particularly about big databases, that can be a really, you know, that can be extremely useful to a lot of different people for a lot of different reasons. But there are also some advantages for the agencies. It is a shared service. It should be very much a cost savings shared service for agencies that participate. And we can talk about that a little bit more if you like. But it also enables the agencies, I think, to better track, at least for those participating agencies, be able to track referrals to other agencies, and that's going to make it easier. That's going to make life easier both for agencies and also for the requesters, because that's sometimes right now very much sort of behind the curtain and not necessarily readily evident to requesters.
And it takes a long time, too.
And it does take a long time. So keeping track of those in a more efficient way is going to be good for agencies and also for requesters.
Not only a more efficient way, but I think a more transparent way, especially if it's somebody, some other agency's records, that it has to go to that agency to determine whether to release it or not.
Yes.
So tell me, Miriam, what some of the challenges you had at OGIS in setting up this FOIA online portal?
You know, it's any time you do something new, it's hard when you start having more than one agency involved in making decisions. That's sort of hard, too. But in this case, we had several agencies. Originally, it was, as I mentioned, it was EPA's idea. In fact, they got the idea because EPA administers the regulations.gov site, which, you know, took quite a few years to get up and going and really become robust and really used by many, many different agencies. But EPA said, look, you know, we've spent time and government resources to build this platform. Could it be adapted for another purpose? And they thought, you know, we've got a good shot at sort of repurposing it or recycling it for using for FOIA requests. So several agencies thought that seemed like a really interesting idea, and so there had to be a little bit of a pilot, you know, project first to see was it feasible, and then once feasible, it's sort of getting agencies to participate, contribute the money, and really, you know, build it. So all of that took took a little bit of time, but as of October 1st, it's up and going.
I think we probably were guilty of making things more complex. They did a very good job of bringing the requester community into and saying, here's what we're planning, here's the first stage, here's what we'd like, what are we missing, where are the gaps? And we'd say, well, can you do this? And they say, oh, that's a great idea. We need to do that. We'll make that change. And we say, well, can you do that then? And they say, well, that might be version two. Give us a little bit of time. So they were very, very responsive as they were building this.
Okay, we're going to stop for just a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion about the FOIA online portal. This is Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
GEICO's famous for saving people money on car insurance. And now, if you're a federal employee, you could be saving even more. In fact, you may already qualify for a special federal discount from GEICO. If you're a federal employee, or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, FLIOA, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you could be saving hundreds of dollars. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings. GEICO got its start back in 1936, specifically to serve federal employees. Today, we're still making it easy for federal employees to save money on car insurance. If you're a federal employee, you may qualify for a special federal employee discount. Or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you may also qualify. See how much you could be saving. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings.
I'm Deborah Roth, host of Fed Talk and partner at the law firm of Shaw Bransford & Roth. Our firm specializes in helping federal employees with legal issues concerning their jobs or benefits. For two decades, we have been representing federal employees in adverse action cases, employment discrimination complaints, inspector general and internal affairs investigations, security clearance issues, and other federal employment disputes. If you have a legal concern, don't wait. Call Shaw Bransford & Roth at 202-463-8400 or visit our website at shawbransford.com.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Bill Bransford, your host, and I'm here with Miriam Nisbet from OGIS, the Office of Government Information Services, and Rick Bloom from the Sunshine and Government Initiative. We're in the middle of a discussion about a brand new initiative, the FOIA online portal. So if you have a question about that or about FOIA processing in general, FOIA mediation, complaints about the FOIA process, Miriam would love to take your questions. You can give us a call at 1-877-936-9333. That's toll free. Or you can send us an email at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. So Miriam, I still have more questions about this FOIA online portal.
Okay.
So you have five agencies. There's a whole lot of government out there that's not covered yet. What are you doing about the rest of the government?
Well, we're in terms of the FOIA online portal, We've certainly talked to a lot of agencies and are continuing to talk to them because we do have a lot of interest in it. Frankly, I think there were a lot of agencies who thought it was a really interesting idea, but they wanted to see how it worked. Not a surprise at all. You know, before casting yourself into a new system, you want to see, is it really going to work, and how are people using it? So I think we're going to probably continue to just pick agencies up as we go along, and also as they see that it could save them money, but and at the same time do a number of the things that they need to do. For example, the requirements for the system, as Rick mentioned, were built with a view to serving both the agency needs and also the requester needs. And so, for example, anyone using the system, any agency using the system, will be able to use their processing coming out of it to do the annual reporting that is done to the Department of Justice every year. And so, you know, all of those data elements are part of how the system works. And so that should facilitate agency reporting, which is really important because all of us who are looking across the government and looking at particular communities of the agencies, looking at particular types of requests, looking at improving the system, do need to look at those data to see beyond the basics of how many requests, but how long is it taking, how many are being released in full, how many in part, what exemptions are being claimed, how long is it really taking, all of those things that Rick had mentioned a little bit earlier in this discussion. The other thing that we do think is going to make a difference, as I said, is the cost savings. I think that particularly because this is a service across agencies, it's a contribution of agencies to build it and also to run it. We're certainly going to see that it will be a cost savings.
And you can convince agencies if they invest in getting on the FOIA online portal and spend money to get on there that they will actually save money in the long run.
We're definitely convinced that they will save money in the long run. Plus, it's good for government. It's just good government.
And Rick, tell me, as a requester, how does a requester go on and utilize the FOIA online portal? How do the mechanics work? Is it user friendly?
It's very user friendly. The process of filing a FOIA request requires that you put in your name and some contact information, and then you describe what you're looking for. And you don't have to, it's not a pull down menu. You can just ask for whatever you want to ask.
So you actually do that on the FOIA online portal.
Yes, you do.
You don't send a letter.
You don't send a letter. You go online. And so that's really important. And my understanding is some agencies that will still take the letters, they're going to use the FOIA online system. They're going to take your letter and they're going to put your information in the system so that they can use the online portal to process the request. You can go in and create your own account. So if you're filing multiple requests, you can log into your account and see all your requests and see the status
of them.
See
your own requests.
Absolutely.
But anybody else can see your request too, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
You can also click a button, and then you can search other FOIA requests. You can search for the request. You can search for the responses that have already been released. And you can get a wealth of information, hopefully to avoid having to file a request. That's the idea. If somebody's already released it, you don't need to ask for it. And this makes it very user-friendly and very easy.
Now, when you go in and use this, do you use it by agency that is participating, or is it a more global request?
You pick the agency where you want to submit the request. I think it makes sense. You know, I don't think anybody benefits if the agencies are flooded with, I want information on X, and they send it to all federal agencies that are on the system. So direct it a little bit more, figure out which agencies you want to direct this to, and submit your request. But it is very easy to fill this out and ask if you want a fee waiver because you're a member of the news media. You can make that request too, and it prompts you for the information that you need to submit as well. So it's a pretty robust system. It's pretty neat. We want to see more agencies use it. We want to see the analytic capacity grow. But we can, you know, I went in there yesterday and I can see, okay, some agencies are getting more requests in the last 2 weeks than they're processing. So their backlog's going to grow. Is it because they're still figuring out the FOIA online system and getting used to it? Or do they need to put a few extra people on their FOIA requests and catch up? It's a great management tool as well.
Well, and it also, Bill, if I could just sort of add to what Rick just said, I think that particularly as more agencies participate, you know, it gives you a little bit better picture of what's happening at the participating agencies sort of now as opposed to only once a year.
Right. Right. I agree totally.
So, and again, that utility will grow as, you know, as more participate.
And what kind of feedback, Miriam, have you received in the 6 weeks since it's been online?
Well, we've gotten some really good feedback. Again, both from the agencies and also from requesters, which we're all. I mean, in fact, there's a team of people who are sort of, you know, continuously looking at what needs to be fixed and changed and what can be changed immediately versus, you know, maybe version two. And there will be a version two. And so they're sort of, it's an ongoing process. So we really welcome feedback from users, whether it's an agency user or a requester user.
And Miriam, as you, as this system grows, how do you see that affecting your other mission, your core mission, the mediation? Do you think that will help bring a focus or a spotlight on resolving disputes?
Well, I hope so. I mean, we're really all about communication, and I think that the more people are educated about the process, the easier it is to use the system. For example, I mentioned a little earlier in our discussion here that we get a lot of calls from people who just, you know, don't know where to go to make their request. Well, any tools like this, like the FOIA Online, and of course, agencies themselves have some really excellent resources out there for requesters, but the more requesters are able to go directly to the place that's likely to have the records, the more they're able to hone in on what they really are looking for to make those searches more targeted. You know, any effort like that, and when you multiply it across agencies, that's bound to improve the process.
It seems to me, listening to you, Miriam, that eventually, at some point, somebody who's a requester, like particularly somebody from the news media, they're going to go to FOIA online portal first to see if there's already been a FOIA request before they ever make a FOIA request.
Right. And that we hope would be really interesting, because right now you might have to go to a lot of different places to find out, and particularly if you're dealing with an issue that cuts across agencies. And of course, there are many issues that do that. I mean, your issue might have to do with financial markets. Well, there are a number of agencies that regulate and are involved in the financial markets, or think energy or transportation or health. You know, where do you start? So if you have to go and search individually all those different places for what's already been disclosed, obviously that takes a lot of time and energy. And if it's an easier process to quickly see what's been released, well, we just think that's good.
And there are places outside of government that are already doing that. MuckRock is a service where journalists and others can submit a FOIA request to MuckRock, and they will do all the processing back and forth and then have the documents available. Document Cloud is a widely popular journalism tool to display documents that they've gotten back through the FOIA process and give them to users.
And it's already kind of out there, but this is one that's sponsored by the government.
Exactly.
It reminds me a little bit of something I think I saw 10 or 15 years ago, when you'd walk into the front door of a federal agency, and just off the lobby, there would be a public reading room where there were copies of all the FOIA documents, and you could sit down like at a library and read them. But this is kind of a version of that, but it's online.
It's an electronic reading room.
And it's in your living room.
And it's available for you whenever you want. Well, that sounds like a great project, and I wish you the best. When we come back from our break, I want to talk about some of the other aspects of what goes on with FOIA. And I think something you mentioned earlier, Miriam, drawing that distinction between a FOIA request and a Privacy Act request. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
My journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around a mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is GEICO anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like GEICO. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. GEICO.
To get a free rate quote, go to GEICO.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact GEICO today to request your special federal savings.
Welcome back to the last part of our Fed Talk show here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And we are here with Miriam Nisbet of OGIS and Rick Bloom from the Sunshine Government Initiative, and we're talking about FOIA. We've just finished talking about the FOIA online portal, very interesting new initiative. I would like to talk about that because this is the first time I've had Rick Bloom and Miriam Nisbet on the show, because this is really kind of a new initiative, but I have done openness in government shows on Fed Talk before, and they seem like in the past it's always been the Department of Justice coming in and talking about that. And there is a coordination that occurs in government as we deal with Freedom of Information Act and Privacy Act and all of these obligations to for open government. Can you talk a little bit about that, Rick, and then I'd like Miriam to chime in.
Sure. The Justice Department still is the leader in providing the kind of policy interpretive guidance that agencies can depend on when there are new court cases that adjudicate FOIA issues. They put out daily, weekly, monthly summaries of those cases so that agencies can then go refer to them to understand how they can interpret FOIA. And they've also in the past couple years done more with technology. They created this system called FOIA.gov, which takes all of the annual reports that agencies put together on FOIA that shows how they've performed over the last year, and they've put them online. So we can go in and say, okay, who's got the biggest backlogs? Who's processed more requests? We can, for our purposes, we can look at all the federal laws that exempt information from FOIA, and because our coalition's interested in that, and we can see how agencies have used them. Now, what we're hoping is that this new FOIA online system, which is very much the real-time processing of individual requests, can really be put together and technically and technologically connected to FOIA online or to FOIA.gov, so we can actually get those annual reports a lot faster, agencies can produce them a lot faster, and so that the daily individual requests are tied to the annual statistics, and we can get a much better picture of how agencies are processing their FOIA requests. And OGIS is a very important actor that is important to mediate disputes. And when requesters or agencies are having difficulty with a FOIA request, and it's important that it was outside of the Justice Department, because as you know, the Justice Department defends agencies when a dispute gets to litigation. And for an independent mediator to be independent and have a perception of that independence, OJIS had to be outside the Justice Department. So I think it really is an exciting time for FOIA and for using technology to promote transparency. And there are a lot of activities. And this was really, you know, FOIA is in a place very different from where it was 5 years ago. And I think that's a good thing.
And Miriam, from your perspective, how does all of the different parts of government coming together work to make FOIA actually operate better?
Picking up on what Rick said, the Department of Justice, of course, issues the legal guidance and policy for agencies. And our office, OJIS, does work with Department of Justice in a number of different respects because, of course, first of all, when we are working on issues, we're using the existing law and the policy that comes out of the Justice Department because that is what agencies look to for how they operate and you know sort of what the rules are. We do a number of things with Justice. For example, we regularly sponsor roundtables at which both FOIA requesters and agencies come together to talk about particular issues. And I think that's a really good way. That's a definitely, when you talk about participation and having agencies, government agencies, and the public communicating and working together and talking about issues, not necessarily agreeing, but at least understanding, you know, the interest of both. We also regularly promote sessions on dispute resolution skills for FOIA professionals, and that is we have found a really good way to communicate with lots of different agencies on how to work better with requesters and also with people in their agencies that are a key piece of making the FOIA process work.
And Miriam, I have a couple of practical questions that I've seen. I have a different experience with FOIA than Rick does. Rick, of course, seems to focus more on what the news media and what journalists want. And my focus on FOIA usually comes from representing individuals, and a lot of times individual federal employees who want records about themselves that are not necessarily Privacy Act records, and they're told file a FOIA request, so they do, and then 2 years later, they get a FOIA request released, and it's all this personal information about them, not in a system of records, and it seems to me that this really isn't what that person wants. They don't want that really publicly released to everyone to see, or I have it on the FOIA online portal. So I have two questions about that, distinguishing between the private privacy information and then that two-year delay. And now I know your office exists. You may be hearing from us.
Okay.
That's a good thing.
We'll listen
but
out
how,
for you, though.
Are those things you all do?
Well, our jurisdiction really is the Freedom of Information Act, but what we try and do with people when people come to us who are making really a Privacy Act request, that is for records about themselves that are governed by the Privacy Act, maintained about them under their name or an identifier, and that is a Privacy Act request. What we do is provide what we call ombud services, which is we're not really able to equip to get into the legal issues, but we can help with figuring out procedurally where is the request, if there's a delay, what the delay is about, and trying to make that process work a little bit better. Please do come to us because we might be able to help you.
I think what's interesting is that in a lot of states around the country where there are these kinds of OJIS-like offices, and there are many, the ones that work best have the capacity to deal with both the Privacy Act issues and the privacy requests and the open records requests together so that they can build a body of expertise and knowledge and handle that in an appropriate way, because it is complicated. Mm-hmm. And while I'm not, I don't mean to say that, you know, OGIS is dodging this area or dealing with this, I think it makes sense to be focusing on the FOIA challenges at this point, but we're hoping that as it grows, it will be able to deal with this area.
The specific experiences I've had are people that very often may have some kind of an issue with their security clearance. So they get a notice that says, your security clearance is being suspended for these reasons. You have the right to request the background information. File a FOIA request. It'll specifically say FOIA, and I think they mean Privacy Act. And then they file the FOIA. Meanwhile, the deadline comes up. The FOIA response is not responded to, and the person's deadline comes on. They may grant one extension, but they might not grant two, and then the person is kind of squeezed into having to respond without knowing the full information. And there's a lack of fairness there, and it seems to me, since they've labeled it as a FOIA request, that that having the opportunity to use your office might be a good way to put the correct focus on this and maybe have the agencies actually provide the information that's necessary. It sometimes takes 2 years to get that kind of information.
Which, particularly in a situation like you're describing, is really, that has got to feel like a long time.
And can your office mediate delays?
We work quite a bit on delays. That's still very, very much a problem for agencies and requesters, not because the agencies don't want to respond, but it is with the number of requests coming in and the resources available, unfortunately, it remains an issue. So we get quite a lot of people coming to us because of delays. So we hope we might be able to help you.
It's also important to remember that OGIS does not have any administrative authority to make decisions or to order an agency to spend more time and attention cutting down their backlog and cutting that delay down to something that's more reasonable.
Right, and we certainly can't put people at the front of the queue, but we can sometimes and often do help the requester understand what is going on and what kind of a response and when to expect it.
I think also the agency, if they get a phone call from OGIS, might take a look and say, oh, wait a minute, we've really kind of messed this up a little bit. Let's get this back on the right track and move this process forward a bit.
I have heard of a few, every now and then, an example of an agency that really doesn't want to make a FOIA release because they would be releasing embarrassing information.
I think I'm familiar with some of these agencies.
Yes, and it seems to me that perhaps OGIS, while it can't order the release, might help an agency see the error of its ways.
Well, like I said before, we are all about communication and having sometimes having difficult discussions.
Yeah, I think that's
Rick,
a big part of what they
have
do.
Have you found that to be helpful in that kind of situation where an agency is merely reluctant to release something that they're obligated to release?
We would love OGIS to focus on that as what they do, and I'm sure that they would keep their very well-qualified expert staff very busy with those kinds of issues. So I think that that's something that is really a problem for journalists.
Okay, we are just about out of time. Miriam, one more time, where does somebody go to the FOIA online portal? Where do you find out about that?
Well, if you're if you have internet access, you can really just Google FOIAONLINE, all one word, FOIA online, and you'll find it. Or the website is FOIAONLINE.regulations.gov.
And that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to Miriam Nesbitt and Rick Bloom for being on our show. Reminder that Fed Talk is brought to you by the attorneys at Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend.